Willkommen bei Remote Leadership, der zweiten Staffel des Chief of Anything Podcasts von und mit Michael Portz und Christian Kohlhoff. Für alle, die auf Entfernung führen oder arbeiten und dabei noch mehr erreichen wollen.
Hi, this is Christian. And today is a very special episode. It's the first one from CoA France. Today, head of CoA France, Jean-François Caillard, interviews Blaise Agresti, mountain guide and former operational officer specialized in mountain rescue and crisis management. He's also the founder of Mountain Path, which is all about learning from altitude. Enjoy.
Hello, we are thrilled to welcome Blaise Agresti today. Blaise, you have an incredible curriculum. You are founder and managing partner of a unique consultancy, Mountain Pass, and a former colonel and head of the Mont Blanc rescue team in Chamonix. You are a father of four. Would you introduce yourself briefly?
Yes, hello everybody. So I'm very happy to share with you some ideas about some mountains and how guys and mountain rescuers can just adapt themselves. So I born in Nice, so in the Mediterranean Sea, and then I was clearly at the beginning of my life in the environment of the mountain, because my father was a mountain guide and my mother was the highest woman in the world in 1966. So she climbed at this time the Noshak, which is the highest mountain in Afghanistan. So I had this background in my childhood of being in the mountain for my whole life. And I climbed, I was very young, and we lived in the US, we lived in different places abroad. So I just have this deep learning in my childhood with my parents about mountaineering. And then I chose a military career, and I did a military academy in Saint-Cyr. And for my first duty, I was head of this mountain rescue team in Chamonix. So the PGHM, name in French, so it's a gendarmerie platoon, high mountain gendarmerie platoon. And I lead this unit for 4 years. Then I was head of the National Training School for Mountain Rescue for two times. And I was head of all the units in France for 6 years. So I had the chance to be an expert in the gendarmerie for more than 15 years. And then I moved to the corporate world as head of as a sales director for Petzl, which is an outdoor company. And then I created Mountain Pass a few years ago.
Thank you very much. Chief of Anything is about leadership, and you have a great experience in this field. You have been leading high-level teams when you were very young in the PGHM. The managing mode of a rescue team is very special. And what learning can you share about this? How do you lead like a guide?
So it was strange for me, because when I was head of the mountain rescue platoon in Chamonix, I was the youngest guy in the unit. So it's not very easy to lead when you are the youngest and with the lowest experience in mountain rescue. Even if I had this mountaineering experience from my parents, in my childhood, but in fact, you are not able to lead as usually we think this unit are leading. We think that in a military unit, you have a chief, you have some deputy commander around the chief, and then you have some chief of operation on the ground, and there is a kind of vertical leadership. And in fact, it's totally the opposite. In this unit, the decisions are taken on the ground by the chief of operation and the rescuer and the pilot and the doctor. So you have the ground cell of facing the risk and facing the event. And you have to start the story with this idea that decision always start from the ground, And in the corporate world, sometimes we forget this idea, this basic idea, which is we think that decisions start from the steering committee level. And in fact, when you face uncertainty, like we are facing from the COVID period, but in fact for the longest one, we have to stay connected to the ground. I think it's one very important lesson we can take from the guide world or the rescuer environment. Perhaps it's one idea. The other one, you start always your decision-making process with a glance over the risk. You always look at the risk to start the story. And when we talk about efficiency, if you just look at the performance of the team without any concern about risk, you take a really high risk for your organization. So starting from the ground, starting with the risk, it's always the way that guides and rescuers start to take decisions. So I don't know after that if you want to go deeper on this idea, but we can start with this these 2 points.
This is very good, very good. Let's go ahead.
So if I want to add over these two first ideas, the third one for me is how you build, so in French I say consensus, how you work with your team to take the opinion of each member of the team and then to build in a collegial mode the right decision. Because when you face complexity, when you face uncertainty, you need several opinions. According to the cognitive biases, all the ways that you transform the information process, we need to have several opinions around the table. And when we build the decision in the mountain rescue team, we always start by the youngest guy without any responsibility. Then you had the pilot, the doctor, and you have different steps. And the chief will finish the process just in a validation mode. You will never see a chief of operation or a chief of unit taking by himself the decision. If he proceed like that, he will fail. It's absolutely obvious in this environment. So you have this process to build what I call the true consensus. And the process to build this true consensus is the way that you never start the process by the opinion of the chief. And when we observe in the same way the corporate world, when we look at the agenda of a steering committee, for example, we observe that regularly the chief, the CEO of the company, will start to explain his opinion in the first position. And it's a big mistake if you want to open the mind of your steering committee, and if you want to have the right opinion of each member of the steering committee, the CEO will have not to start to open the process of to build this true consensus. He will have to finish the process. And it's a very important step I discover in this mountain rescue unit. It's if you start as the youngest guy of the unit and you are the boss and you start to talk at first when you are in the decision-making process, of course, the guy, the oldest and the former and the oldest guy of the unit, very experienced, will just say, okay, why you talk first? It's not your place. You have to wait for the opinion of each member of the crew, of the team, and then you will finish by your observation or your validation. And so that's a big piece of understanding where we talk about leadership in uncertainty. It's a very important piece for me. The last idea I can share at this moment, it's perhaps when we talk about lead like a guide. A guide compared to a mountain rescue team is alone. He has to do exactly the same process, but is alone. And of course, you need to take in your mind that you always start the process to take a decision as a mountain guide with another piece, which is intuition. What is exactly the place that you will let to the power of intuition? Because you are not able, as a human, as a rational human, to take your decision only with rational input. It's not possible. So how we manage to let the door open to intuition, I think it's a very important question when we are talking about mountaineering and such activities.
Thank you, Blaise. Mountain is a lot of preparation. What learning for corporate leaders preparing a strategic plan, for instance? What do you advise them at Mountain Pass?
When we talk about corporate world and strategy, we just do the parallel with when we climb a mountain, how we can succeed to climb a mountain. And we have just a couple of questions to answer. And the first one is what summit I will choose with my team. And if you are not able to answer this question, what is the summit I can propose to my team as a performance, as a human and social and environmental goal, I will not propose a real project to my team. And it's not necessary to start, because if you don't have this element of what kind of summit I want to achieve, it's not necessary to start the story. So we always say to succeed to climb something, you have to decide what kind of summit you want to climb. And when we look at the corporate world or company at this time, just in the middle of the COVID crisis, we have to just to look at this question, because the goal and all the thing we want to achieve before COVID crisis today are just totally different. So we have to think again about this question of what kind of summit I can propose to my team, to my partners, to my employees. After that, when you have defined this summit, you have also to define the way that you will lead the leadership process. Do I want to preserve my decision, to let some initiatives, to let people take their own decision? So how I can distribute my leadership? So this is the step two after the summit. Do I want a model of leadership which is totally traditional, hierarchical model? Do I want to distribute my leadership? And if I want to distribute, I need to precise the rule and the way that people will take their own responsibility. So it's step two for me when we want to succeed a project in a corporate world. After the summit, it's the way that we distribute and we organize the leadership and the decision-making process. When we have done this step two, we need to look at the way that we will implement the decision, or we can succeed when I took a decision, okay, or someone in my organization take a decision, or we will implement and succeed to implement this decision. So it's a step two of the success, or I implement my decision. Step four, it's a very simple idea. It's how I manage my resources. And when I'm talking about resources, I'm talking about skills, knowledge, abilities, but I'm talking about energy also, the way that we manage the time. So it's all the resources to achieve the summit. And if we compare to the backpack of the guide, what are the resources I need to put in my backpack to succeed? and I need some skills, I need some energy, I need some food, I need some logistics, but also I need some way of managing my time. Because, of course, at this period of crisis, if we are not able to manage time, we'll fail in the way to manage our performance. And the last piece is how I build the confidence in my team. So if we are good enough to precise the summit, to define the way that we'll take decision, the way that we will implement our decision, the way that we will manage our resources, and the way that we build the confidence, we are in the right way to succeed, whatever is the topic or the field of area of the company. It's I call that essentials of success.
Great. At Mountain Pass, you are teaching crisis management, and most leaders have experienced this during the COVID crisis. What do you advise them to prepare to the next crisis?
It's a very important question. I think we put aside the crisis management mode because we are a little afraid about crisis. So it's very hard to prepare crisis in a company because we think that it will never happen. We hope and we believe that it will never happen. And in fact, it happens regularly. So my advice is very basic. Of course, you need to have the mental model of the different step of a crisis. So this is a very basic thing. I can explain it in a very short way. When you start a crisis, there's always some weak signals before the crisis happen. And when you need to organize the way that you will capture and the data of these weak signals before the crisis. And you need to take some preventive measures to start. This is step one. Step two, the crisis happened. So you need to take some emergency measure. And it's better to have some ideas of what kind of emergency measure I can take when I face a cyber attack, when I face a social crisis inside my company or whatever. So emergency measures could be prepared with different scenarios inside a company. Then you need step three to organize your command and control. We talk about crisis cell. So you need to understand the different aspects of the success of a crisis cell, the right organization, the main mission, the way that you will manage the information and the communication. So it's step three. Step four, it's always when we face a crisis, we have to avoid to put 100% of our resource on the crisis. You need always to preserve some reserve. We talk about continuity of the activity, but you need to preserve a resource not dedicated for the crisis only, but for different other missions to preserve the company, its business, its partner, its clients, and so on. So you need to preserve your continuity of activity. It's step four. And the last piece of this model, so this mental model of to manage a crisis, and it's the most important part, it's step four, five. Step five is to define the key factor of success to finish, to end the crisis, and to succeed to manage a crisis. And it's exactly the function we call anticipation. We need to anticipate the key factor of success of a crisis, even when we start the crisis. And it's the hardest job ever as a crisis manager to do. And we can observe that even the government had some difficulties to define the key factor of success of COVID crisis. It's very difficult to do that. But in fact, we need to concentrate our best element of the company on this function we call anticipation to define the key factor of success. If you have this key factor of success in mind as a CEO of the company, as a leader, of course, it will be really easier to drive the different action to achieve this key factor of success. So it's step five when we talk about crisis management, but it's, for me, it's the most important part.
Great. Leaders in 2021 and onwards must accept the permanent risk and still show a lot of perseverance. Does Mountain teaches you when you must stop and until when you must be perseverant? How do you feel this as a leader and as a guide?
It's the hardest question. And I can say that, of course, it's very easy to talk about that, but it's harder to do it on the ground. When we stop, when we have to turn back to the valley with our client because we have some clouds and some lightnings, or perhaps some people tied in the cordée, in the rope team, when I have to turn back, it's always a very important question for a mountain guide. And so when I was talking about intuition, we need really to listen deeply. All the piece of energy we have around us, because if you sometimes you think that it's not possible, but you will do it, you will persevere, you will move up to the mountain, even if there is some clouds, some lightnings, or some part of your team a little tired. But you have to have this perception of this energy of the group, the ability to face, and then you will take your decision. But it's something very tricky and not so easy to take. I've done some mistake in my experience of guide. Sometimes I thought that it was possible to move up, and it was not exactly the case. It was hard to manage after that. And sometimes I take the decision to turn back, to go down to the valley, and it was probably a mistake because I under-evaluate the situation, the ability of the team to face. So what I can just say for me, on this question, we have to put away all the belief we have, the belief about the power of the summit, the attraction of the summit. We have to take away this idea of obsession of achieving something. So it's very important to put away this belief, to put away the overestimation of the risk and the underestimation of the risk. So it's two things really difficult to evaluate. And then to let the place of your intuition, your deep intuition, to say, okay, can I do that with my team, with my rope team, with my corporate environment? Are we able to do that? And you have to try to find this feeling, this deep feeling inside your body, your mind, and say, okay, let's do it. It's possible. And if I have this feeling, we can try. If I don't have this deep feeling, I think it's better to turn back and to go down to the valley.
Thank you. So today there is a lot of uncertainty in the corporate environment for all companies, and this uncertainty, of course, also exists in mountains. Do you think that uncertainty is a new normal for today's leaders?
So it's a couple of weeks ago, I will answer yes to your question. But today, I will answer no. Why? Because, and I put some title of some conference I did a couple of days ago, exactly like that. It was how we can transform uncertainty into a new normal. It was my title of my conference just a couple of weeks. But in fact, it's a paradox. Uncertainty is the opposite of the normal. It's an environment I need to think differently. I need a different mindset to face uncertainty. And if I put the word normal, I try to put this uncertainty in the normal box, which is I need process, I need some new skills to face this as kind of project management. And in fact, no, if we start to move our mindset from the ability to adapt ourselves to uncertainty to something which is a new normal, we will be not ready to face the real uncertainty. So uncertainty, if we want to talk about this topic, to face uncertainty, we need three things. We need to have a strong team. We need to have a strong confidence inside your team. We need to have this strong function of anticipation. So it's cooperation, anticipation, and to find some new way, some new path, to find new solution, which is innovation. So when we talk about uncertainty, it's not the way that we can transform uncertainty into a new normal, but it's to understand the essentials to face uncertainty, which are cooperation, anticipation, and innovation. If we succeed to have in your team these three abilities, of course, we'll face uncertainty, and we have to just to be afraid and to take care about the fact of to consider uncertainty as a new normal. Uncertainty is just something we need to have a real open mindset to face complexity with diversity, with some diverse opinions. So it's totally the opposite of normal.
Thank you very much, Blaise. It was a fascinating podcast. We see that in the mountain environment, intuition, trust, empowerment, adaptability take a great role in your leadership. And that's great lessons for today's leaders. And I hope we will have opportunities to continue this conversation during other sessions.
Yes. Thank you, Jean-François. Thank you. And goodbye, perhaps see you in the mountain.
Das war Remote Leadership, ein Podcast der CoRE Academy mit Michael Porz und Christian Kohlhof. Unser Programm und weitere Informationen findest du unter coRE.academy.